To you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on iHeartRadio or everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find it. And we're just happy to have you pick up what you missed because it's been a great first hour.
It has, Tom. We've had fun.
In fact, it's been such a great hour. I forgot to give out the number here, 1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680. Don't forget texting us. You can do that. And 23680. And I don't mind when you call me, so just go ahead. Lizzie may mind, but I don't mind.
Don't throw me under the bus. And we're really happy to have Professor Gary Bachman, Dr. Gary Bachman.
Bachman here.
And, well, I'm happy to be here, guys. It's always fun to come in here and talk gardening in Central Florida.
Yeah, Central Florida is a neat place to garden. I came down here from Maryland. That's where I started out. And I had an opportunity to go to work for the Smithsonian Institute. They were looking for somebody to head up their bicentennial program in horticulture or come here. And I said, I don't have the tropical plant experience, so I'm going to come to Florida.
There you
so
go.
They had an opening, and here I am. And I'm glad it did. I mean, it's just a nice place to live.
Yep.
And I thought I didn't appreciate Maryland. Let's start by you're a horticulture professor emeritus from the Mississippi State University. You have your own nano farm.
That's right. Now, the Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm was my research kind of lab. And it's called a nano farm because I had to do the USDA farm census because we're farmers market growers, and it's 0.07 acres is how big my nano farm is. It's huge.
0.07 acres. Wow. That's kind of,
I had to come up with the square footage.
Yeah. And you have Heritage Cottage Seeds.
Right. Heritage Cottage Seeds is something I started when I retired, and I grow specialty peppers and tomatoes and zinnias. Everything's all isolated. I collect the seed, clean the seed, package the seed up as varieties. Grown for the Deep South is kind of the catch. And I have friends up north that are growing my seeds. They're just fine up there.
Yeah, sure.
But looking for plants that survive our heat and humidity is key. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do. I'm not going to compete with Burpee or anybody,
No.
I'm just having fun in the garden.
I got a funny feeling that you're doing as well or better they are with some of those seeds that you have there. Let me do the dirty word of the day, and it's a word that you can help me with here. It's indeterminate.
Oh yeah,
you know
that's
the word.
That's a tomato word.
Yeah, that's what I've got. Number one here, the word mainly with tomatoes. The real definition, which I looked up, is a plant part that continues to grow while flowering, which is kind of interesting. Yep. Usually indeterminate plants keep on growing and with tomatoes producing while the weather is suitable. We have to do that because during the summertime, for instance, we'll find that the tomatoes kind of shut down here. I guess they do in Mississippi
also. Right, yeah. They continue to grow and flower, but the pollen becomes unviable because of the heat.
So you don't have that.
Yeah.
These are plants normally that need staking for best production, like we do tomatoes, especially the indeterminate types. They just get taller and taller. And how do you know it's indeterminate? Well, look at the label or the seed packet or the catalog, and it will normally tell you.
Right.
I know you do.
Right. Tomatoes should be, labeled determinate, indeterminate. There's even some that are semi-indeterminate. I'm not quite sure how they do that.
In the middle.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you don't want something continually growing and flowering, then you get the determinate types. And this is when you're buying tomatoes. You need to look at the label or the catalog and find out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's interesting. The tomatoes I grow are basically determinants because we have a spring season, we have a fall season, kind of like what you do here.
Yeah.
And I don't want big plants. I want tomatoes that'll produce like 4 to 6 weeks of fruit.
Yeah, then shut down.
Shut down, start again in the fall, and in the fall you can go all the way to the first frost.
Yeah.
And get we've had
now last year we didn't even get a killing frost.
Yeah, we've had fresh tomatoes on Christmas Day.
Fresh
tomatoes. That's really cool.
That is kind of neat. I would figure some of the older varieties, heirloom varieties, would be indeterminate, aren't they?
There's a mix. A lot of the old heirlooms are indeterminate.
Yeah.
So
do you have some of the favorite tomatoes that you like the most?
I have tomatoes I like to grow. Now, I can't believe I'm going to admit this, but I don't like to eat fresh tomatoes.
You're not a big tomato fan.
I've grown 1,000 pounds of tomatoes in my little garden in the past. I like to grow them because my wife likes to eat them. So she's always the taste tester. What tomato do you like best? I don't know. It's whatever my wife likes. That's the one I like the best. But I do like to grow tomatoes.
It's kind of interesting. Let's see. We've got number. Do we have enough time? Yeah. Let's take Mark in Central Florida. Mark, good morning to you. How can we help you today? You're on Better Lawns and Gardens with Tom and Gary.
Yes, sir. Something that I never hear talked about much is nematodes. I have St. Augustine grass. And how much do we need to worry about nematodes?
Well, if you live back in the 1970s, you worried about them a lot because we had a control. And the control at that time was called Nemagon. Mm. And so a lot of companies produced it or used it. You could buy it at some of the gardens, all the garden centers. You can buy it at the some of the pharmacy-type places. But when we lost those products, we stopped hearing more about nematodes in St. Augustine. And, you know, it's interesting. It don't seem to be the major problem if you're taking good care of your St. Augustine lawn. So do you think you have a nematode problem?
Repeat that question.
Do you think you have a nematode problem?
Well, I really don't know. I've got healthy grass, but in this extreme heat, you know, it gets distressed. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I get distressed too in the heat. No, it's probably the heat as much, and you may have some slight nematode problem, but if the grass grows well at other times of the year, you probably don't have a nematode problem. So anyway, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the question. I hope it helped you out just a little bit. We don't seem to have the nematode problem in St. Augustine that we've had in the past. And so, I don't know. They haven't gone away, I guarantee you. But from the Summit Responsible Solutions, guess what? We're coming to you. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCumming, and this is Florida Talk and Entertainment Network. Morning to you. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you want to give us a call, you certainly can. 1-888-45-LAWNS. That's 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680. That's 23680 if you want to text us. Gary, we've got a lot of things going on here with questions and everything.
Sure, sure.
So why don't we do this?
Sounds good.
This one here is from Palm Bay. Prospero is the person who is texting me here. They got a snail problem. It must be big snails that are outside. It says, I have them perpetually in my lawn, which is fairly normal to see some snails there.
Yeah.
They like to destroy the leaves on my fig trees, the hibiscus, and papayas. And it says, I've tried salt, and I've also tried a snail product from a big box store unsuccessfully. Any ideas? I like the beer idea that you have suggested.
Yeah, the beer idea seems to be, you know, kind of an easy one, you know, to put a little saucer of beer out. And I wouldn't use, you know, the Heineken. I just go for the
cheap,
you know, just cheap beer.
Any
just,
malt type thing.
You just need cheap beer. And that will, you know, attract the slugs and the snails into that. That's probably maybe the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, I think that was easy one. There's also the iron baits. Now, there's no spray that I know of to put on your trees or shrubs. You've got to get them before they get up into the plants.
Right. It's more a preventive or a barrier type
The barrier.
Yeah.
The iron phosphate baits are very low toxicity. You can use them around animals and things like this. Just follow the label. Labels.
Absolutely.
Labels the law. And so you can do that. But there is no spray as such. Salt is a barrier. You know, people have used copper and stuff like that. Also.
I was just thinking, it just dawned on me. I remember people talking about taking like copper foil, and putting it around the stem of your plant.
That might be a possibility on the trunks of some of these things, like the papayas and the fig trees. Put some type of barrier of that nature.
Right.
Even one of these sticky type things.
Oh, and to make the sticky products.
Yeah.
That would, you know, I don't know, what do they call it? A bird stick? It's a bad name, I understand.
Yeah. But that would be something you could do. But there's no spray as such for the homeowner. But I like the iron phosphate baits, and you may just have to use them fairly frequently, or if you want to play around with the beer. I have to tell a story. I used to have slug. I used to teach class, and I need a slug every once in a while, which is a snail, basically, without a shell. And I'd tell my neighbor that I needed a slug, and the next morning a whole bunch of slugs would show up in a jar at my doorstep. And what she would do is she'd take her husband's beer and put it out and get them that way. Okay, well, let's do Jim then. Jim, good morning to you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a 15-year-old lychee tree. Last year I got maybe 400 lychees. This year we got like 5 lychees.
Okay.
That's not the problem. I hear they can go back and forth every other year.
Yeah, biannual bearing, we call it, yeah. Citrus
my
does it also.
My question is, this thing, when I harvested the 5 lychees, I cut it back 1/3.
Okay.
Last year, this thing grew every day, every month. It just would not stop. I read somewhere that you could prune it twice a year. Is that true?
Yeah.
And if so, when could I do it again?
Okay. You've just harvested the fruit, right? Your 5 that you ate?
That was a month and a half ago.
Yeah. So you could go ahead and prune it now. You could do that now. What we want to do is just make sure the tree has enough time to grow, to mature the wood, so that you'll get fruit next time.
Right.
So don't wait another month or two till it's grown even more?
I wouldn't wait another month or two. If it's out of bounds right now, I'd go ahead and do it, and that'll make sure that the wood matures by fall.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea for the timing, to make sure it gets ready before we get into fall and into the winter season.
Into the winter season, yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Jim, you have a great gardening day. Let's see, who do we want to do first here?
Colette.
Okay, Colette, good morning to you. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. How can we help you?
Good morning. Thank you. I've got a weed growing in St. Augustine grass. I don't know what it is, but it's like a vine with a very hard stem, and the leaves on it are kind of like 3 and very rounded. And I don't know how to get rid of it.
Okay, does it have any flowers? Does it have pinkish to purple flowers?
No, okay. No flowers.
How big are those leaflets?
Probably about the size of your thumbnail, maybe a little bit bigger.
Okay, and they're in threes.
And it grows under like the St. Augustine shoots.
I'm thinking
so
bigger weed.
Yeah. What is it?
I'm thinking beggar weed. It has pretty thick stems.
Very
hard to get rid of. I'll tell you what I find to be the best product out there right now to control these weeds, and it's Roundup, but it's Roundup for Southern lawns. You know, Roundup has become a brand name, and you can get the Roundup that kills everything, or you can get the Roundup that's selective for Southern lawns. And that's what you want to do. You want to get the Roundup for Southern lawns. It can be used on any of the St. Augustine. It's a combination product. Now, here's your problem. It's hot out there. And when it's hot out there and you start using herbicides, you may start damaging the lawn a little bit just due to the heat. So if you find an area where you have this weed, it won't make a difference whether I'm right or not, whether it's beggar weed. If it's a broadleaf weed that you have, this product's going to work on it. And so you can go ahead and use it. And just use it in the area where you have the weeds. You may get some yellowing of your St. Augustine. Use it during the cooler portion of the day and should help you out.
Okay. Would it be better just to wait maybe until the weather cools off a little bit?
You know, the problem
I'm in Winter Haven.
Yeah, well,
my house, the rain parts and goes around us.
Yeah.
It
does at my house, too. Yeah, Lizzie gets all the rain. She says, come on up here. She pays the preacher, right? What can I tell you? You know, the problem with waiting is the weed's going to keep growing.
It's going to keep growing and possibly set seed or be rooting along that viney stem.
And take over to St. Augustine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think you can wait, Colette. I think you got to go through and at least spot treat those areas.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And just do a light spraying. Don't concentrate the product. Just do a light spraying over the top, and you may have to repeat it at some time, but wait a few weeks and see what happens.
Okay. All right, I'll try that.
Okay, you got
and
my...
Well, that'll probably take care of some of the other weeds, too, then.
Anything that's a broadleaf yep. weed, and it will control sedges, things of that nature. Just make sure you get the right product. Get the Roundup for Southern Lawns, yep. and it has to say for use in lawns, okay?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yep. Let's go. Can we do Jerry? We can do Jerry in Citrus County. Jerry, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning, Tom. I got a question on a pomegranate. It doesn't do well, and I got it in rich soil and black cow and I don't know what all. And
I tell you what I do,
it's
Jerry.
Light colored, you know.
I tell you what I do. I grow something else. Get get tomato plants or something like that.
I was thinking the same thing. I've had experience, Jerry, with pomegranates in Mississippi, and I can just say I've tried it once, and I've moved on to other more successful.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, but I want to ask you another.
Well, let me back up here. We don't leave you totally hanging here. The University of Florida has been experimenting with pomegranates, and you should be able to grow them still. It may not fruit the best, but you still should be able to grow them. Just make sure you have a well drained soil, and you're fertilizing them, you know, several times a year, and keep them moist. And outside of that, that's all you can do for them.
Yep.
Yeah, you can grow them in containers. That's a possibility.
And in containers, you could probably control the environment, control the water and the fertilization better. And you might even get better drainage than yeah. in ground. And that's good drainage is never a bad thing for our fruit trees.
Yeah. And so in the end, if you still can't grow it, like we said, grow something else. how else can we help you, Jerry?
Yeah, I have the blackberry, Prime Arc Freedom.
Okay.
You know, the large one from Arkansas and development. And it does beautifully with the Floracane, but the Primocanes have very poor production. They grow, and I prune them and stuff, but the production is very poor, only a few little berries, but not the... Not like it does in the spring.
Well, you're talking about you're saying they do well in the spring. They just don't do well during the summertime.
Yeah, the Floracane does, but the Primocanes, when they come out,
yeah.
they grow very nicely, but there's very little production there. I even prune them so they have laterals.
I don't think that's too abnormal in Florida here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, developed in Arkansas, a little bit different environment.
Yeah,
temperature wise, length of summer, and everything. I'd if you were getting good spring production out of it, I'd call that a win.
Yeah, I think Gary's right there, Jerry. I think summer's just not going to be the time for good production.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much for that. Appreciate that.
Well, hey, you're welcome.
You're quite welcome, yes. And if you want to give us a call, now's the time, 1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680. We've got a text question here, and it's about cherry tomatoes. And Gary, maybe you can help us with that.
Sure.
He said, what determines whether you remove the cherry tomato plants or replace them? Evidently, they're still growing.
You want to know something? I can tell you my philosophy on the cherry tomato plants. Once I see the plants starting to decline, that's my cue to go ahead. Let's pull it. Have another one ready to go back in, because the cherry tomato plants they'll just get worn out. They'll just get tired.
They're indeterminate, most of them, aren't they?
And they're indeterminate, and it sometimes is better kind of stop the cycle, kind of start it over again.
Yeah.
and then pick it up, you know, because it'll be later in the cooler in the fall, and you'll get an more great production out of that.
And they can pick up diseases and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going through.
Absolutely.
I have my favorite cherry tomatoes. I like Sweet Million, and I like a Sugary.
They're, oh, yeah,
some,
yeah.
Some of the neat ones that we can have. They're kind of neat. Tell you what, we've got lines open here. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. This has been Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And good morning to you. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Tom McCubbin here. Dr. Gary Bachman's with us here in the studio. And our number here is 1-888-45-LAWNS, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us at 23680. We've got a number of people waiting, but let me do a couple of things.
Sure, sure.
One problem I'm having, you ship seeds, and one problem I'm having is getting them during the summertime. And I've gotten two orders now, and the seed germination was about zero. And one of the orders, I know it was shipped 2 weeks before it got here and was only coming from Georgia. And then the other one, I forget where it was coming from, but I just figure they're sitting places, heating up too much, and the seed just declined.
Yeah, it's very possible. You know, I don't know if it's logistic problems, but I do think that packages are sitting in the back of trucks or someplace. Yeah, and the heat could definitely be an issue. You know, especially if seeds have been stored properly, and all of a sudden you throw them into the blast furnace in the back of a truck.
Yeah,
could definitely, you know, deteriorate that germination rate.
Yeah, and I had one packet delivered to me by hand for somebody getting out of their station wagon. I mean, who knows where those were? Up on the dash, or
that very well could be. Yeah, yeah.
So my thought is, I'm not going to order seeds during the summer anymore. I'm going to do it during the cooler months of the year.
Sure. I mean, that's a good strategy. You know, for those of us that have seed stores, we don't like to see that.
I know, but
if that's the reality,
you don't
I mean,
want somebody coming back to you and say they didn't germinate.
That's right. That's totally right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Talk to me about microgreens. I'm not a microgreen grower or eater, but you've done well with them.
Done well. Microgreens are basically growing. You know, let's just pick like broccoli. Just taking broccoli seed, and there's a whole bunch of different vegetables that we can grow as microgreens. But taking that broccoli seed, sowing it fairly thickly like a little lawn, and growing those seeds, getting them germinated, in anywhere from like 7 to 12 days. Then cutting those little seedlings off and using those as garnishes, could be your salad itself. And there's research that's shown that these small seedlings actually have higher levels of some of the good phytonutrients than, say, a big broccoli plant. Even though big broccoli is good for us,
I eat it every day.
But but the little broccoli shoots have more of those vitamins. They don't have as much fiber, of course.
Yeah, sure.
But they have more of those phytonutrients.
More concentrated.
And it's the same with basil and cilantro and other cole crops. Kale is especially high in the good phytonutrients. And they're easy to grow. You can grow them on your windowsill. You can grow them, you can grow them outside, you know, in kind of in a bright area, or you can grow them under a grow light.
So are you using potting soil?
And I use potting, so I use the professional growing mix. I use professional growing mix for everything,
sure,
from earth boxes down to microgreens. And you just have to keep watered from the bottom, and you don't need a special light because you just want the seeds to germinate, and you're going to harvest with the scissors. Unfortunately, it's a one and done.
Yeah.
Once you cut them, they don't regrow again. Yeah. But you start the process over, and it's a way to have a constant supply of nutritious greens, even in the wintertime.
Now, as an extension specialist, you developed this actually for people in the area so the farmers could have another crop.
Yeah, that was part of my extension appointment, was looking at value-added crops that local growers could use. And we were the first local microgreen grower on the Gulf Coast in 2009. And now we have several across Mississippi that have taken some of the data that we developed and some of the pricing data that we developed to make a profitable, enterprise.
That was a real success story.
It really is.
I hope you wrote that one up, because in extension we had to write up success stories.
Oh, yeah. I have several extension publications on microgreens that have actually won some national awards, from our society. So that was a fun project.
That's great. That's great. I'm proud of you. Let's go to, what did we say, Lori in St. Cloud? Lori, good morning to you, Lori. You're here with Tom and Gary.
Hi, good morning. Great show. Good to hear your voice, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to know the website for the doctor, because I'm very interested in nano gardening.
Oh, yeah.
My question today, though, is I have a pineapple guava that's about 10 years old, and it's never produced anything. It looks healthy. It's probably 6 feet tall. Is there any trick to get it? It's only one. I don't know. Maybe that needs a partner.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think you have to have a different variety. Is it flowering at all?
You know, it did a few years ago. People recommended different things over the years, like a blooming fertilizer. I just give it a citrus avocado fertilizer when I do those trees. But nothing.
But if it's not flowering, I'd be tempted to prune it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of force it to kind of regenerate some younger tissue, and that could definitely
might stimulate it.
Yeah. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah, don't over fertilize it.
Yeah, you're using the right fertilizer.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said. What do I need to do to it?
Oh, I would prune it.
Prune it.
Yeah, I would take it down a third.
All right.
And that would force some of the lateral buds to start growing, and you get the more juvenile tissue, which could, you know, lead to, you know, more flowers. I don't know if it'll flower this year, but next year would be the test.
So I feed it three times a year. Just keep doing that, right?
Well, if it's putting out a lot of growth, then you might skip a fertilizer application. You know, too much fertilizer will keep them from flowering also. But you're using the right fertilizer. I would say once in the spring, once probably about midsummer.
Yeah.
That would be about it. Yeah. At 10 years, a long time to wait.
An avocado tree as well that doesn't want to produce.
Well, if it's a seedling avocado, you may be waiting for a good while for that. And you have an address for her that she can get information from?
Yeah. If you want to you can go ahead and email me. It would be easier, and I can address any questions you got and send you information. It would be gary@gary-grows.com. That's my direct email.
And it works?
It does work. It finally worked, right?
Yeah, give it one more time.
Okay, it's gary@gary-grows.com.
Okay, hope that helps you out, Lori. I don't know if we talk with Jerry trying to remove it. I don't know whether anybody's going to believe us or not. Number here is 1-888-455-2967, Texas 23680. We're coming to you from the Sunlit Responsible Solutions Studios. Good morning to you. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're in our last segment here in Lizzie says we're dragging our feet.
You guys are literally dragging your feet. You guys are hanging out like you're at a bar. You guys are old pals.
Really, we're just going off on tangents here, Lily.
And I love it.
Sorry, Lizzie.
You're not the only person. No, everybody calls me Lily, so that's an honor. So
yeah, well, Lily's kind of pretty.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Better than being called a turkey. let's go to Dave in Melbourne. What do you say? Dave, top of the morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tom and Gary. Great to hear your voices again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I've got a Florida mulberry tree in my backyard. Grew from a seedling. It's about 15 feet tall now. I'm just wondering, because I read an article recently about pruning it in August, and I just want to know if that's the right thing to do, prune the tree in August.
Yeah, as soon as it's finished flowering and fruiting.
Right, yeah. As soon as it's done fruiting, like Tom says. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have our permission to do it.
Okay. Should I prune all the limbs or just some of it?
You know, how much does it need to be pruned? I guess that's the main thing. If you want to keep it lower, because they do, depending on which variety you have, you got a seedling, they could get kind of tall. So if you want to keep
it's actually, it's some of the fruits probably will be unreachable next season, but.
Prune it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Prune it back.
Just prune it back.
Keep it the size you want.
Shape? Kind of rounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rounded.
Yeah, I don't think you can hurt it. You'll be okay.
All right, and fertilize how many times a year?
Once in the spring, once in the summer.
All right, 666?
Any kind of general fertilizer would be fine. 666, okay.
Right.
I think it's a little harder to get 666 these days. 606 is probably what you get, yeah.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, let's go to, want to go to Tom in Merritt Island? Is that where we're going? Tom in Merritt Island, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning. So I've got a bed of amaryllis, and I really need to transplant them. They're near a mango tree, and as a result of multiple hurricanes, particularly Milton, they're now they used to be in shade only a little, but now they're in heavy shade. So I want to, and I'm not getting any flowers, so I want to move them. Should I do that in the near future, or should I wait until like maybe October, November, or something? Or when
I don't think it makes a difference.
Listen, ideally, you know, I would say, you know, do it later in the fall. But here's my caveat: if you've got time to do it now, I'd go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, I don't think you can hurt them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough bulb. I have a lot of amaryllis. I know Gary has a lot of amaryllis.
I remember one year, this is get off subject again, I had a Christmas amaryllis bloom. This was, you know, 15 years ago. And I just, you know, it's done. I went and I kind of threw it out in my compost pile. Didn't do anything to it. Next year, it bloomed out in my yard. So,
I know.
Yeah. So, I don't think you can hurt them.
Yeah, they're tough, I know. Also, I planted watermelons some months ago. And I've had a number of really good orange-fleshed watermelons, and pretty much all done now, but the vines are still out there and blooming. Is there any chance I get fruit, or is it best to not even bother at this point?
I'd leave them.
You know, they're there.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anything unless you want that ground to do something else.
Yeah. If you wanted a fall crop of watermelons, August would be the time to plant them.
Yeah. And if it's already growing.
Yeah. Were they good tasting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. I got a bunch of orange fleshed, and one vine was yellow fleshed.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And two quick comments on things we covered earlier in the show. One is amaryllis is fairly easy to grow from seed. I've been experimenting with that. The other thing is that there was discussion of pomegranate. Yeah, that's a tough one. But a lot of people are reporting success with a variety called Vietnamese Red.
Mm. Okay.
And that's being sold in South Florida, all places.
Okay, well, that's one that they might go ahead and get and grow. The only one I've grown is Wonderful, and that's the name of it. I mean, yeah. So
it doesn't. Well, I tried Wonderful years ago. It didn't do well for me.
I know. It's variable, that's for sure. And the fruit splits during the summertime. That's a problem. Okay, Tom, hey, we're going to run. We got to get on to the next caller, or Lizzie will say we're still dragging her feet. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Let's go. Last caller of the day, folks. This is Phil in Palm Bay. Phil, good morning to you.
Hi, Tom. Good to hear you back on the radio.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a couple of questions. One, pruning a lychee tree. Mine is about 15, 20 feet tall. It's going to be hard to prune on top, but how do we prune them? Just take a saw to them and cut off a third? Or?
Yeah, prune shears,
yeah.
Loppers,
yep.
Anything you want to use like that. That would be fine. Yeah, be careful if you're getting up on ladders and things. You might want to get somebody in to do it for you.
Oh, that's okay, good advice right there.
Have canna lilies in a pot. After that, one stalk of canna lily flowers, and there's no more flowers coming out. Do I cut that down to the ground?
The stalk it flowered out, you can. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get more shoots. That stalk doesn't reflower.
Shoots are always coming out. I was just wondering if I leave that stalk or just cut it down.
Oh, I take the stalk out. If it's done, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you.
Okay,
you're welcome.
And Phil, you said you have them in containers?
Yes.
Yeah, so I just got done repotting some of mine. Okay. You know, they fill the container so much that sooner or later you have to take them out and divide them. Okay.
Now I got a question for you guys. My turn.
Okay.
Okay.
Raising my hand. Okay. my okra, I saw where whenever you go to cut your okra that you're supposed to cut the branch that's right underneath it, the leaf that's growing out. I don't know if you call that a leaf, but you're supposed to cut that off also.
When you're cutting the fruit?
Yeah, whenever you're cutting the okra.
I just cut
the stem. With the pods coming up?
Yeah, that's what I do. I cut the stem that's right where the pod's coming up at.
Yeah,
and
Okay.
All right, I just wanted to make sure. So it ends up dying sooner or later, but then I heard, social media, and they're all factual, but I just was asking. So just go ahead and cut the stem underneath it.
Well, you know, there's a right way to wrong way and my way, and my way works.
Yeah. there's a lot of different paths in the garden to get to the same point.
This is true.
I'm sure Tom has a certain path to take. I have certain paths to take.
Yes.
But we all get to the same. We're both successful.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, Gary, big question here. So what are you doing here in Central Florida now? I mean, you're on your 50th anniversary.
Right.
And Katie's probably listening.
Well, I hope she still could be sleeping. But anyways, happy anniversary, dear, just in case you're listening.
And you've got other family. You got your daughter, Ann.
Daughter Ann's here. Daughter Rachel and son-in-law Jacob are they're back sleeping still.
I was going to say, you were supposed to have a whole paparazzi situation with you, a clan. What happened? Only one stood
up. Oh, yeah, right? I know.
Listen, when we were emailing, I told you I didn't know who was going to show, and you just said kids are brats no matter what age they are, right?
Facts. Facts. Well, now you know how to adjust your will accordingly
that's
now.
That's right.
Yes.
Can you hear that, Ann?
No, she can't hear nothing.
So you're up in beautiful Mount Dora.
Right.
So what are you going to be doing?
Well, yesterday we did the Dora Canal boat ride,
which is
fascinating.
Yeah.
Today, I'm not sure what we're doing. Oh, we have to go to the spice shop, of course. So there's a plug for the spice shop.
Yeah.
There's a rum tasting over at Lakeside this afternoon.
Oh, that sounds okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and then a nice dinner tonight, and then they're all heading back home tomorrow, and then we're staying till Monday morning, then we head back.
Now, if you go over further west, just a little ways, and you go to Yalaha, and you'll be able to go do the moonshine tasting too.
Really?
Yalaha Bakery, right
really?
Next door to it. Yes,
we need to talk after we're done here.
Okay? Got you. Gotcha. I got okay. you.
I didn't know whether you were using this as a nursery tour or something of that nature.
When I was working, absolutely. If we were in Florida doing something or wherever, yeah, we had to check out the nurseries and things like that. Now, this is just pleasure. I was going to try to go to Murphy's citrus grower in Perry because I just got some sugar bells or what's the new
disease, green resistant?
Right, the green is it? It
I don't
it's
know.
It's sugar. No, anyways, I just got
sugar something.
It's sugar bells, I guess. But they had been impacted by the hurricanes over the last couple of years, so we just have to put that off on them. But they were the grower that I got these great new citrus trees from, so I was all happy about that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So you're having a good time.
Absolutely. We just love Central Florida. It's not commercialized Orlando.
Yeah.
Done that. I'm over that.
Well, it sounds like where you live in Mississippi is kind of nice also.
Oh, it is. Right on the Gulf. We're 5 miles from the Gulf as the crow flies.
Well, let's keep away from the hurricanes.
At least you have a couple days notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just plug now your seed company.
Oh, sure. My seed company is Heritage Cottage Seeds.
You can go up on the internet.
On the internet, heritagecottageseeds.com. And because it's our 50th anniversary, we're running a 50% off the entire store for the rest of this month. So get in there and make sure the sales code works. It was working earlier. If it doesn't, I'll fix it. But
Gary Bachman, yep. Thank you for being here.
Tom,
we appreciate
it was a pleasure.
Yeah, Professor Emeritus at Mississippi State University and his wife Katie celebrating 50 happy years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm in Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
Yes, sir.
We want to thank all of our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions, Quality Green Specialist with Dana Venrick, and DeLand, Peterson's Nursery with Hallie and Karen. Don't forget about their program today at 9:30. And we certainly appreciate you being here. Lizzie, as always, you make the program special.
That's what my dad said.
She said you were special. Yeah, that's right. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks and year-round spray oil and Summit Green Armor insect repellent, I'm Tom McCubbin. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.